This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by John Pogorzelski. Now, thanks for taking time to talk with us tonight, John.
Hey, thanks for having us, Cam. Or thanks for having me, Cam and Ben.
Yeah.
We'll just jump into it. And if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for council in this election.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I moved here to Lethbridge in 2013. I graduated from the University of Regina, and I couldn't really find my footing there. It was my home city, and I didn't know anybody. So I came over to Lethbridge, took a job with the Ethnic Association, and I was amazed at how well this community kind of welcomed me here and how many people I was able to meet in such a short time. Since I've been here, I've created my own small business, which is thrown a very successful event, Oktoberfest YQL. Actually just happened this past weekend. We've done a few other things in the community, working with nonprofits. We've helped out the Family Center a lot, done fundraisers for the Ronald McDonald's Children's House charity. I've hosted things for 5th-on-5th youth services for the Donor Appreciation Night. I've worked with SAPA and SACLA and other nonprofits in the community. And I found myself surrounded by so many great people, and Lethbridge has given me so much. You know, I bought my first home and everything, that I'm going to be here for the next foreseeable future, and I wanted to be one of the driving force behind the changes that happen in this community.
Awesome. That's great. So you've been here, you've been in the city for a while. What do you think is or are Lethbridge's 2 or 3 most pressing issues, and what would you like to do about them if you were elected?
Number one is you know, just social issues with every city has. We have a group called the CMAR, which is a coalition of municipalities against racism and discrimination. Making that more prominent in the community and just kind of educating people on why our vulnerable population is where they are, right? Everybody's so quick to jump the gun and point a finger and say, oh yeah, you know, you don't work hard, everything like that. But it's having that understanding of why people are where they are. And if people do get that education, maybe they'll become more compassionate, and we'll be able to find more avenues for these people to kind of get help and just find work and live better lives if people are respecting of who they are. So number one, social issues, educating our populations, why people are there, and trying our best to reduce homelessness and poverty. A second issue that we're facing in Lethbridge is, of course, the fentanyl and drug problem. That's a big issue that we have. Everybody knows about it. And again, that a lot of that comes down to education and awareness. And one thing that I'm looking forward to is, legalization of marijuana. And that is going to be a big issue when it comes in 2018. I'm for it, and I think that needs to happen. And the reason being is right now, with fentanyl being cut into all the other drugs and whatnot, they're not being tracked by any government regulations. And once we start regulating it, we're going to know what's in at least marijuana, so kids aren't going to be getting anything that's cut with that. I know when I was 18 in high school, it was a lot easier to buy marijuana than it was cigarettes, because cigarettes were regulated by the government. You had to be 18, you had to get them from a store, right? So ensuring that we have the proper platforms in place, the bylaws, and any other municipal issues that we'll have come 2018 to get that going, to at least have some harm reduction strategies in place. Other things like safe injection sites, I'm also for safe injection sites. I'm for that. I think it's very important that we have these things in place, because, you know, again, addiction is not necessarily a problem. It's addiction is a disease, and it's something that people have to deal with, and we need to find ways to help these people and get that through. And finally, my third focus is just promoting small business. I wouldn't say it's so much an issue. We do have some great small businesses here, but like especially in the downtown, you know, when people think of cities, they think of the unique businesses that are there, mm-hmm. and the unique restaurants, unique shops, and we need to have more of that, especially downtown. Right now, when you go downtown on a Sunday, there are very little places open and very little places to go, and it doesn't draw people downtown. Mm-hmm. So promoting these small businesses, getting investment into our downtown, revamping the park is something that I'm very for.
Awesome. So we know that the design and plan phase for a fine arts facility downtown has been brought to council. Is this something you'd be in support of when the time comes to start construction on this building?
100%. I think implementing Arts and Cultural Center is very important for us to have downtown, because it's going to attract more people downtown, which will in turn attract more investment. Right now, what we don't have is a lot of people living downtown. But if we can get a performing arts theater down there, which is going to draw more people, it will create investment into new development on housing structures. And the more housing we get downtown, the more people that are going to be down there, the more other people are wanting to invest in business. So I see this as a big step into making our downtown more vibrant. And, I mean, of course, we've got to be fiscally responsible about it, and make sure we're not kind of spending way too much money on it. But once we sit down, develop a plan, find a great site, and get it all forward, I'm 100% on board for getting that downtown.
Absolutely. Now, talking about funding, actually. So the capital investment project, or the CIP, set aside $7 million for the design and planning of this performance arts facility. And most of that money actually comes from something called the MSI, or the Municipality Sustainability Initiative, which is a grant given by the provincial government to municipalities. And our city received about $21 million last year. That all went towards our CIP. But in 2021, which is when this project's design and planning phase is to be completed, and construction is effectively to begin, the Municipality Sustainability Initiative actually expires, and we don't exactly know what the next replacement or iteration of it will be. So I'm just curious if you think that this is a project that should be put on the back burner if funding is not as readily available, or what do you think would be some ways for the city to come up with approximately $70 million remaining to build the building?
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people in the town are not in favor of increasing our taxes, right? Property taxes are always very high in the city. As a homeowner myself, I know that's really high, and that's not a route we need to go. But one thing I think we need to do on that is just manage our money that's coming in and taking priority on what our projects are. The big debate right now is, should we put money towards a third bridge on the west side, or should we put money towards a performing arts center and a convention center? I'm in favor of the Performing Arts and Convention Center. Now, I don't think they should be together. I myself believe the Convention Center should be out at Exhibition Park, because it's a larger area for us to have, and have the Performing Arts Center separate from that in the downtown. So it's prioritizing, budgeting properly, and planning for that, right? I would be amiss to say that I know all the budgetary happenings of City Council. I've never sat on council before, my first time running for politics, so I'm not 100% well-versed on all the budgetary expenditures that are going to happen, but I do manage a bar. I run my own business, so I am good with planning and good with money, and so it's seeing the numbers that come up front and just allocating the appropriate amount of dollars that need to be allocated towards our arts and towards the center.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
So Lethbridge currently has 1% of the community CIP invested into the public art acquisition. So a project gets done and we allocate 1% of the budget to getting new artwork. So it can vary from year to year or from project to project. What do you think, 1% is adequate funding for art acquisition, or should it be something more constant from somewhere else?
Private investment in art is a great thing, but I mean, we don't really have any control over that. Mm-hmm. It's tough to look at where each dollar is being spent on the CIP right now. I mean, should we bump it up to 2%? Should we bump it up to 1.5%? I mean, those are definitely things we need to take a look at. I myself think it should be a bit higher, because when you walk downtown, we don't have a lot of artwork down there, right? When you're in downtowns and other cities, I mean, and the plazas and whatnot, they have a lot of artwork. They have a lot of, unique things that kind of bring the culture to the city, where I feel we're kind of failing in that point in Lethbridge right now. Right. When we go downtown, I mean, you don't have that like uniqueness per se to our downtown with our artwork. Right. We don't really have anything there. Even if it's smaller projects, right. I mean, it's not so much about throwing so much more money into it, but it's just finding things to do with the money that we currently have. Right. We got a lot of, I'd just say like power boxes in golf gardens, and they're just big gray boxes that kind of stick out. Now, why can't we do something using those boxes to make it not just a gray box in the park, but an art project around it that is also something that provides power? In my mind, I think that should totally be done, because it looks much better having some kind of artistic piece that is useful and provides power rather than just a gray box sitting there. Mm.
Certainly, for sure.
Yeah. Sorry, we're just going through our list of questions here. So you were saying for poverty, which is a huge social issue within our city, Lethbridge actually was ranked as having the second highest low-income population in the province, and one in five, I believe, children living in low-income housing. Or households. I'm just curious, what do you think the city's responsibility is to those citizens?
Well, as you may or may not know, we have 300 chronically homeless people. So those are the first things we got to look at. I mean, we got to be finding a sustainable living time for the people that are living on the streets. And then what I feel the city's responsibility is to our homeless. I mean, we're a democracy, and we are a social service country, right? That's why we have EI in place. That's why we have home health care, or what do you call it, national health care services in place. Because we believe, as citizens of Canada, and most countries like Canada, sorry, I'm kind of losing my words here. We believe strongly in helping out our fellow citizens, right? And wherever you go in Canada, I mean, that's kind of the idea behind it. And I feel that some people kind of get left behind in that thought, and you're only looking to help out the general public as per se, not the people in poverty. And we need to start focusing more on them, helping them out, whether it be lowering transportation, providing more food stamps to people that are in need, having a better low income. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say, sorry. I know in Regina, where I'm from, we have a place called the Salvation Army, which you're only allowed to shop there if you're making under a certain income a year. Having a place like that in Lethbridge that is there selling lower groceries, lower clothing, everything like that, that is being kind of, I'm not going to say funded, but supported by the city, to allow people that don't have the kind of means to go out wherever they want to at least be able to go there, get everything that they need to go back while still being able to live their life. I don't know if I answered that the best, but
no, that makes sense. So basically, the city should encourage private enterprise to help tackle and really get to the bottom and the root of poverty within the city.
Right, and like I said, I'm not totally in favor of the city just kind of throwing money into their own business, that they have a city-run business that's just for people in poverty. But it's there's social entrepreneurs out there, and it's giving them the opportunity to create something that would be accessible to people living in poverty and help them enrich their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I think we have a good bit of our questions answered here. Yeah, Ben, do you have anything else you want to ask?
I don't think so. I think we can probably wrap up.
Excellent. Well, we just want to give you a few moments here. If there's anything that you want to touch on that we didn't get to, now would be a good time, or some closing statements if you'd like.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you know, like, I am not a politician per se. I'm not your traditional politician that has all the answers for every little question. What I am is a man of action. I'm somebody in the community that actually does community events. I get out, I volunteer, I put my head down, and I get things done. That's what I'm all about. That's who I am. I'm a young guy, I'm energetic, I'm passionate about this community, and I want to make it better in any way that I possibly can. whether it be through promoting small business, promoting the arts, working with Beyond Your Front Door just to encourage people to get out of their house and meet their neighbors. I know I live in Copperwood. We had a movie in the park. It was wonderful. I got to meet some of my neighbors. I got to talk to some people and just get to know my community a little bit better. And it's promoting these things, promoting the social aspects, right? I understand that the economy is a big thing and we have to focus on that, but it can't be our primary focus, because if we're only looking after money and only looking after budgetary things, we're going to fail the people that need us the most.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know it's quite a busy time for you and your fellow candidates, so thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, guys. I actually got to get to work right now. I run a karaoke company, and I got to head over there and start working, but it's perfect time to call, so I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on, guest.
Excellent. Well, have a wonderful evening.
Awesome. You guys see you. Take care.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Well, thanks to John for joining us. It's great to hear from someone who new to the community, but is so willing to get involved and, you know, started his own business and all that, and is mm-hmm. seems to be doing pretty well for himself. So.
Yeah, has a job tonight.
Yeah, busy guy.
He had to run. He had to go karaoke. I don't know if it's
Council meetings would be very interesting if they were actually done to karaoke instead.
I would watch more of them on TV for sure.
That's fair.
If I could see Joe Morrow singing It's Raining Men or something, that would be just fantastic.
Amazing. Well, you know, Jeff Carlson would be on it. If Mark Campbell gets in, he's
oh,
in on
sure.
it.
Oh,
so,
sure, yeah.
I mean, well, now they have to be elected.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, I have to vote for Joe Morrow so I can see him sing It's Raining Men.
Oh, yeah, dear. Anyway. Well, best of luck to John, and we'll see how things turn out for him on October 16th when people get out to vote.
Indeed.
Indeed. All right, well, you've been listening to Sightlines.
Thank you for listening to Sightlines' special electoral report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.